and welcome to episode 247 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the Indigo Park, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And joining us to talk about all things comics this week are the duo behind the brand new publishing boy band known as Tribute Press, Tony Esmond and Adam Faulp. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
guys.
Always like I'm a guest.
Hello.
You got to treat me with respect now, for a change.
Have you ever listened to the show?
What do you mean?
Can I make my ultimate Sunday reference? Today has felt like the ultimate fucking Sunday. The Sunday of Sunday, the King of Sundays.
Why? It's is that just that? Been
because this with this quarantine stuff going on. You're stuck indoors. It's just a fucking hell. Seems like, and with the clock change as well, it just. Oh,
but yeah. That doesn't explain. What do you mean, your ultimate Sunday? What have you done all that wanted to do on an ultimate?
No, not the ultimate Sunday. It feels like the kind of
never ending Sunday.
The never ending Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think of like a really boring fucking Sunday. That's today squared.
Damn.
That's what it's like being retired.
Oh, I can't wait for that. But I tried drawing today, and it was all coming out like fucking shit. So I was like, nuts.
So you had a kip.
Yeah, and the aforementioned wank.
that wasn't
on there. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, guys. Wherever you are, we hope you're all right. And welcome to the show, Adam. Tony's always here, but thank you for joining us this week, dude.
It's all right. Anything for you, boys. You know I'm a big fan of the show.
Yeah, a big fan of you.
Indeed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Stop with
Don't be too kind to him.
Yeah. Look, you're a guest now, Tony, so be quiet. Speak when you're spoken to. I'm only joking. Anyone who is a guest on the show, anyone who is a guest on the show can say whatever they want, actually. It's us three that have to watch
Tony.
It. Yeah. But yes, welcome to another episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast, folks. We hope wherever you are, you're healthy, well, staying sane, and probably reading loads of comics, making loads of comics, or hopefully being productive in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's good to know that we've got comics ready to read. There's always more comics to read, isn't there?
Mm. Oh, I'll die before I finish everything I haven't read that I own. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm feeling
and
safe.
It's because you keep buying more stuff as well.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're here to entertain, and this week we're going to be talking a bit. Tony mentioned it, was it for the first time last week, Tony, you announced Tribute Press?
I think it was last week. I think that's right.
And anyone, of course, who's seen or read Atomic Hercules in all of its glory will know that Tony and Adam are here to smash you in the face with comics. In all manner of ways, if you've seen any of the panels within the book. So we're going to talk more about like the outlaw side of comics, the stuff, dangerous comics. Well, not physically dangerous. I mean, although a paper cut is quite a bastard, isn't it? Really, if you get it right under the nail. Have you ever had one?
Yeah,
of
it kind
of
hurts.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck me.
If you come to our table and say you like My Little Pony, we'll fuck you up.
apart from Dan Butcher, who will ask you if you want him to do a commission for you and charge you for
mate.
It. No, so we're going to get into all that and Adam's work as well. Because he just churns out comics left, right, and centre. And you may have heard him on one of our previous shows when we did a Leamington Comic Con special. Was that was over a year ago, wasn't it?
Christ.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Oh my god!
No, it was end of last year.
No, that was when I was in America, wasn't it? That was.
I can't know.
That was the end of last year. That was like October.
Was it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God, it's all merging into one.
Was it?
First walk around the con as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there was that one as well. That was
classic walk around the con.
Yeah.
We'll get another one of those in the future.
We need one. There's a little bit of a talk on Twitter, isn't there? I know Rachel Lee Cart was saying earlier, like, when this is all over, we all need to go to the Comic Mart, and I think I make her right on that.
Sounds good. Right, yeah. And we've got some plans to do something Comic Mart related with the ACP.
Yeah.
We've talked enough about it, but obviously plans are taking a little bit of a back step at the moment, because,
mm.
But
I've written more I've written more this week than in loads of weeks beforehand.
Well, you've got your blog. You've got you know, you're doing your Honest Review Month, and you are a Judas, an absolute Judas. Because
I've got another podcast. Only because I was bored.
That's no excuse. Listen, Judas.
This is just listening because I invited you both on it.
Yeah,
we came
it's amazing. We've got a spin-off show.
I'm like the girl from Uncle, and we're currently the men from Uncle. I'm like Canine and Company.
You're making these references. They're going well over my head, Tony. Yeah.
Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, the Sarah Jane Adventures. That's what you are. Yeah, you're the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Of the podcast.
Yeah.
There you go. How's that?
But yeah, there you go. I do. But the Never Iron Anything podcast.
which I did it an evening. And you ignored. I messaged you saying, I don't understand what an MP4 is. And you ignored me.
Oh, I didn't see that bit. It wasn't. I honestly didn't see that message. It wasn't until you sent the link. I thought, "What's he done, that Judas?"
I said, "I don't understand what
it was
MP4
like."
Is.
It was like, "Fucking hell, he's gone and made a solo album, and he didn't tell the rest of the band."
I told you I was recording something, you bastards. I said,
"Well, it made sense. You've been appearing on other people's podcasts, left, right, and centre."
You have as well.
It was only a matter of time, wasn't it, Dan? It was only a matter of time before you thought the grass is greener somewhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Right. People who live in glass houses. What about your dancing? Let's get back to that.
And as well, we should, because I haven't recorded it yet. Because last week, in terms of my 9-to-5, was an absolute bastard. But to all of those people who donated to charity for a stupid video of me dancing, it's being planned and it'll be in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, are you still working in the office, V?
No, I'm working from home. I'm working from home. Okay. Which makes everything three times slower and more frustrating.
Yeah, I thought it'd be great, but it's not.
No.
Oh, it's fucking awful. No.
It's fucking awful.
And, you know, someone from my team was on holiday, so I was picking up someone else's work as well. I mean, so there was lots of things.
Oh, I love that.
Holiday? That's bollocks. Where are they gone? Fucking Tenerife? What a of shit.
No, they... this isn't a real life show. You're not going to... What are we doing talking about this? We should be talking about comics. And do you know where else...
You're on holiday. Can you do this load of work? You're not on holiday, just at home. Cancel your holiday. Just get on your computer.
Look, I can tell you exactly what he was planning to do, but our listeners don't want to hear it. And if you do...
Planning to mug you off, my friend.
Yeah. But you know who won't mug you off?
The Comic House.
It's Comic House, our lovely sponsors. Yes, the sponsors of this show. We love them. They are an indie comic marketplace, and they have an app, and they're amazing, and you need them now more than ever. There's a huge selection of titles on the website, on the database, so if you've got like hard copies of your book and stuff, and you can list your work on there for free, start selling straight away. We've seen quite a few sort of new books go on there recently. But like we say, like we talk about every week, they have an app that we love. It is growing. It has a top 10, so you know, if you're the competitive type, get your book on there now, and lots of people will read it, and then you can say, "Oh yes, I'm in the top 10."
And what's the money rolling?
Yep. And in terms of money, if you want to talk about money, Comic Houses, well, you know, you will get something. You don't have to make £1 million before you can buy a packet of crisps, like you can with some other digital resources. So join up. Like I say, there's an app. There's loads of comics on there. It's like Netflix, basically, subscription service. What kind of stuff are they adding all the time? What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got this. We've got New York City Gallows, issue 1, Untethered 3, Blender Volume 1, Trujillo, and The Last Arrival 2, which I think, did you review The Last Arrival 1
this
week?
Yeah, I did. I reviewed The Last Arrival 1, and I also reviewed New York City Gallows, which we'll hear of more of later, not me.
And we've got the excellent Don't Judge Me, the Penguin Treasury Edition by Alan
which
Henson,
I also
which
reviewed.
Is glorious.
Yeah.
And another one, Lima by Gustavo.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, two books out.
Yeah, there's loads of awesome stuff on there. For only £3 a month, which is basically the price of a cheap digital book.
He's doing the promotion at the moment with COVID-19. If you use that as a code, you get another 3 months reading. So
it's good, isn't it?
Good on Pete.
Also, if you look at the top comics, the first one, which is unfortunately knocked Vanguard 17 off the top, is Turkey Grove Farms. If you go to our Facebook group, there's like a reading group on there to see for people to read it and then like say what they thought about it. Yeah, there you go.
Right. That's a brave choice, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's been a mixed review, which is good to see that people are being like totally honest about how they felt about it. It's nice.
Yeah.
But no, I guess we've got to be a bit careful in the fact that you don't want to pick one of the group, if you know what I mean. But
Maybe that's why Ian went for that one, because it's a Marcosia book. I don't know the creators of that one. I've got to be honest with you. Yeah.
But you know, I know this. Sometimes it feels like a small community, but the great thing about Comic House, I'm seeing lots of creators that I don't know on. So I'm discovering lots of new creators, which is great. And like I say, we've got reading threads in our Facebook groups, etc., that we'll put a shout out to at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that, because like I say, there's new comics to read. If you've got a Comic House subscription, then you can read it all pretty much for free. I don't like it when people say for free, because you're still paying.
You're paying your subs.
Yeah, but it is well worth your money. So yeah, so go to
As a slightly sort of on subject but off subject, I also paid for Marvel Unlimited this week.
What's that like?
Right, hold on, we'll get onto that in a sec.
All right. Finish your thing. Yes,
because before we talk about that nonsense, you go to comichouse.com to find out more and the 14-day free trial, and you'll see what we're going to talk about, because a couple of books we're going to talk about later might be on Comic House. So, yeah, check them out. But Marvel Unlimited, something that I've been aware of. It's been on the periphery, but I just thought, really? Tony Esmond, tell us.
Well, I tried to get Comixology Unlimited, and I added like a very nice conversation with Comixology saying, can we get it over here? And they said, oh, no, there's no plans to roll it out in the UK. And I felt like saying, why is it on the front page of the site then?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because on the .co.uk site, if you go down, it says, oh, this week added to Comixology Unlimited are these titles. And I'm thinking, what's the point of putting that on there then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I asked them, because I wasn't sure. People were saying, no, it's not. And I thought, well, that's weird. I'm just going to check. So I checked and it's not. And it's not likely to be anytime soon. So I thought, what with the lockdown, what with the fact that I have a reading pile that grows and sometimes I don't get to titles for 6 or 7 months, I may as well go to Marvel Unlimited. Because basically pretty much everything Marvel puts out gets put on Unlimited after a 6-month period. And it's only, I can't remember what it is now, it's like $8.99, $9.99 a month or something. You read three comics, you've made your money.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought, I'll give that a go. And it's pretty good, actually. I've got to say, it goes way back. There's loads of stuff on there. You're hard-pressed to find stuff that isn't on there, to be fair, so far, anyway.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah. Comixology thing, it doesn't get that. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, recently, they have made a few choices that we don't necessarily understand.
Yeah.
God bless them. God love them, because they are probably busier than ever at the moment.
Yeah, busy taking my money.
Yeah. I have actually. I can't remember the last. Tell a lie. I did buy something. I think it's interesting with the recent UK price hike on Comixology. It has made me focus a bit more looking for indie titles. I am less likely to.
I've got a few off Etsy stores and stuff this week already. Yeah.
So, for all you indie comic fans out there, there's still stuff everywhere. Not to mention that loads of creators are just putting out their books and for free at the moment, which is brilliant. So
yeah, there is that.
Anyone that's doing that across the board, good on you. That's brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes. Adam, do you you read? I know you love a printed book, but do you read much digital?
Not at all, mate. No.
Really?
I'm just not into it. It's not what I like about comics. I don't think I love to hold them, and there's also a bit of like collecting as well.
Even though
you chuck them in a long box and never see them again, so it doesn't really matter what you own or what you don't. Yeah. It's still I've got that issue now. Well.
Do you think you'll change through necessity when stuff stops coming out? You know, I mean, if Jim Rugg or, you know, someone like that starts putting comics out and you can't physically get them, will you get a Comixology account to read them, do you think?
It would cut. I reckon I'd like deplete pretty much all my reading. I'd only read what I really wanted to, as opposed to taking chances on stuff.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. Mm. I mean, even with the 3-page preview, you can't tell the quality of a book through that, especially if it's an anthology. No. You've got no idea.
Yeah. Also, sometimes the 3-page preview, is that always the first 3 pages of your book?
It depends who does it. Some people leave the fucking contents page.
I know, it's fucking ridiculous.
But the people who do it properly, it's the first 3 pages of story, isn't it? Or should be.
Yeah. I don't understand. Because sometimes you see like an action-packed cover, and you look at the page, and you think, this is really dull. You know, and you don't buy it. I mean, you may have missed out on a really good book because, you know, those three sort of thumbnails, as it were, of the book don't really put across.
It ties into a lot of other stuff. So it also ties into what goes on Amazon and a lot of other digital reading things. And it also ties into what is sent out as a preview, what is sent out in the advert. So, for example, on the NoBrow site, we put 3 pages on there. And a lot of companies do that, and you'll probably find that they're the same 3 pages. So if I'm writing a review, I tend to sort of try and keep myself to the first 3 pages, especially if it's a preview. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah.
And because I think they're kind of tight with what they put out. It spreads across more than Comixology, but yeah, you're right. It's a funny one.
Those previews kind of are important because I know we every week we do our sort of pick our favorite digital covers. And it's, by the way, thank you to everyone that's joining in. It's fantastic to see all the people's choices and people really sort of getting on board because it is fun.
It's a big week this week of covers as well. It's loads this week.
Yeah, and it's great to see, what appeals to different people. You can, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
And also sometimes people pick a cover and I'm like, how did I miss that one? Because you always miss one. You do always miss one. But saying that, we're always like, oh, I love this cover. We're not going to buy it just from the cover. You've got to, unless it's a regular book that you always get.
I mean, I'm sure all of us have fucking been burned by buying a comic book based on the cover.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
Companies basically sell their product based on the covers,
don't
they? Yeah. I mean, Adam, with the printed stuff, I mean, how many times have you been burned by... have you ever bought just on the cover alone?
Maybe. It all depends. I buy variants if someone bids for them. Like if they get someone like a Ben Mara or an Ed Piskor to do a variant cover. I mean, I bought a copy of Major X once because Ed Piskor did the that was a good fucking laugh when I got home.
You know, I've kind of been on just browsing the shelves. Thought, oh, that looks all right. And I get that. And then you read it. It's like, oh, that's a load of shit.
Yeah. When you think
the cover's dynamite.
If you're buying if your shop bag and boards them. So I know a couple of shops.
Yeah, you can't bust them open.
One in Cheltenham bag and boards them on the shelf. So you can't, I'm always a bit, I don't really want to open them sometimes. So I will often buy stuff based on the cover,
Yeah. Well, the comic scene at the moment is going through some interesting times. And certainly there's been a lot of rumblings. We're going to entertain you. We cannot avoid for the next couple of months the situation that the world is in. And that situation is having a knock-on effect to the comics industry in many, many ways, shapes and forms. Like we say, the positives, we want to look at the positives. And like we say, people are getting their books out there. The small press community is really stepping up, which is brilliant. And we're going to see probably an influx of lots of new comics being created. And to any freelance or indie and small press creators, we hope you're doing all right if your full-time job is making comics, because obviously it's a bit difficult. But there's, in terms of comics in the marketplace, there's certainly been a bit of talk. I haven't necessarily been aware of this, so I'm, Tony and Dan know more about this. And it's something that we haven't really discussed on this show before, so this could be quite interesting, is Diamond. A lot of people probably know what Diamond is. We've seen a previews catalogue in our time. There may be some that don't know who Diamond are. Do we want to start with saying that and then what's happening now?
Yeah, do you want to lead with it, Dan? Because you sent us that email out, didn't you, around the copy of the email?
My thing about Diamond, I'm a little bit kind of sketchy on what they do. So essentially the comics are made and produced and Diamond distribute them to the various comic shops, and comic shops have to order through Diamond, and it seems like it's a bit of a monopoly
you've got to go through Diamond. 90% of comics have to be ordered through Diamond. There are other distributors who go to comic shops and distribute comics as well, especially graphic novels, I think, and you get, there's a smaller distribution people who will do other books as well, but Diamond,
the like of a TKO Press, they don't go through Diamond, do they? They deal direct.
Yeah, but there's some companies that do both. So some companies might have Turnaround and Diamond, and some companies might just have Turnaround, for example, who's a distributor, UK distributor. But what happens is, since the direct market came into sort of real prominence, which is basically comics are sold out of comic shops, Diamond had the control, in the most part, for the comics that went from Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, whoever, to Diamond, and then to a comic shop. So
I mean,
that only grew. It used to be there was a number of different distributors. There used to be a few different ones. I think Virgin had one going at the one time. But they sort of slowly dwindled away, and Diamond became, so I don't know how, because you get these things about, you know, people having strangleholds on various industries, like the train industry and stuff. Do you remember when that happened, when Virgin tried to buy all the train lines, and they said you can't because you have a monopoly from the Monopolies Commission. But if the Monopolies Commission ever looked at comics, they'd probably find that Diamond basically controls the flow of comics. It's like controlling the spice, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
It's fucked up because, like, so essentially, like, now, remember when you could kind of, as a kid, you'd go there and there'd be comics relatively, like, in a few shops. It wouldn't just be like you have to go to this specialist shop to get comics.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that, so that's come from Diamond. So what's happened is Diamond, because of the situation we're going through, has basically said, right, we're shutting doors. We're not doing it. We're not, like, distributing comics. So that's put everyone who puts through Diamond, like the comic shops who received them, to the people who are making the comics, just put them on their ass. So what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to get your product out.
Yeah.
And that is just absolutely just...
Which I think, because it sounds like, as of just as of listening, it sounds like the lockdown's going to last a little longer, certainly in England.
Yeah.
So I think people will start planning their own distribution networks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the only way to do it. I mean, I can't speak for any other companies, but it's certainly something that I would consider doing myself, you know, if I was involved.
Yeah. I know Diamond are a process that, you know, the comic industry has not, you know, because of that stranglehold, it hasn't been a very happy relationship for the last, like, over a decade, really, isn't it? They've been really, you know, because it seems like, you know, the comic industry wants to grow. It wants to push beyond and get into new readers. And you can't when you only, you know, there is currently a brick wall and a glass ceiling that comics are hitting. If you look at
Previews magazine, Previews magazine is a magazine based on giving that magazine to the shops and the, you know, the people who are selling comics, so that they can choose what they want to buy in 3 months' time. It's not, we all buy it and we will look at it, but it's not meant to be for us.
I mean,
seem to get forced into, like, taking stock as well. So it's like you've got to take X, Y, and Z book if you
to
want
to get a variant.
A, B, or C, or something like that, and it's like, well, I'm getting piled on with fucking shite here that I can't sell.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. But I went down to Sainsbury's on Saturday, and the magazines are in there, like Elle and all this stuff, and it's these are getting produced and getting taken to the sale point. What's the problem with comics? Why wasn't this?
Yeah.
I don't know what the situation is with 2000 AD at the moment. I'm not a regular buyer in the prog anymore, but is it still going out to shops? Is it still in Double H Smiths? Is it still being produced? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, for instance, you're doing your magazine, you upload it to the printer, the printer's printing it, it's getting taken to the distribution warehouse, and then it's been printed out and posted. The post is still working. If those areas of the business can still connect, people can still get their subscription to 2000 ADA at home.
They get it early as well. Yeah, I think the problem is
like WH Smiths, are they still open? They weren't necessarily, I'm not sure they would.
I don't know.
Stay open.
Well, my local one is because it's a post office as well. I presume.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they all are, but
that's the same where I live. Yeah,
but the other thing is the problem. Here's the problem you've got. So comic shops, people, everyone's in lockdown. Okay, so generally most people are. You know, who we know will be staying at home. A lot of comic readers, you know, unless you're frontline sort of policing or nursing or something like that, you're going to be going out. Otherwise, you're going to be locked down. So people are not going to the comic shops. Now, I heard this, Challengers Comics have got a podcast. Challengers Comics is an Eisner Award-winning shop in Chicago. And they used to do Around Comics was a podcast I listened to for years. Used to come out of it. So they've created their own podcast, and they're very honest about what they talk about on it. I got turned on to it by Jason Wood from 11 O'Clock Comics. I've been listening to it, and they talk very, very, almost occasionally painfully honestly about the business and how difficult it is. I mean, for example, in this week's one, they're talking about how they can't afford to get the lights fixed in the shop because financially they're so badly off.
Bloody hell.
But what the problem is, you've got everyone in lockdown, so nobody can get to their comic shop to buy comics. Mm. So they're actually saying, we are better off not getting a delivery from Diamond because we can't afford it. Because they will sit there in people's pull lists and people won't be able to, or either won't be able to or don't want to come and pick them up because financially it's an insecure time at the moment. And everyone, anyway, most people are locked into their houses.
Yeah. And comics, so they're a luxury item. Let's be honest. Exactly. You know, this is entertainment. This isn't the essentials.
Yeah, this is not bread, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, so they're actually pleased that there is that pause in distribution. But of course, it's a double-edged sword, because you've also got the problem is that the money isn't coming in, therefore can they afford to pay the rent? What do they do, you know? And there's a lot of people working comic shops who probably won't, you know, 0 hours contracts, or just like work for their mates in a comic shop at the weekends and that sort of thing. They won't be getting any money, so it has the bounce on effect of, and nobody these days within the comics industry retail has got the savings where they can fucking weather six months.
Yeah,
you know, so if this goes on for 3 or 4 months, we are going to take a huge hit.
Massive.
And therefore the comics won't be ordered. They won't be coming in from the States. And I can see us developing a much larger digital comics habit in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they've been told, artists have been told, stop drawing.
Right.
So even if it does get back on track,
so how does that
what point do they say, right, you got to start drawing again?
So in what context is that then, Dan? Who's
there's a couple of artists I follow on Twitter, professional artists who've been told by Marvel, DC, whoever they're working for, stop drawing, stop making comics, because they can't afford to pay them, or they're so unsure of what's going to go on that they're giving him like the stop what you're doing for the time being. So like,
did you see that press release today? DC basically said they're looking at other distribution models, basically.
So that's hopeful. I read that and thought, well, that's good. You know.
Rather than
I don't understand. Like, so obviously Diamond have got the monopoly, but I'm guessing because they're the ones that saying, well, we're not taking any more books from you. So I'm guessing at that point they can say, well, if you're not going to take our books, we're going to go and look elsewhere.
Yeah, there must be a breaking of a contract there, surely, somewhere.
Yeah.
But also, if you look in Double H Smith's or a large newsagent, you can't tell me that all the magazines on the shelves there come from the UK. I'd be surprised. No. Some of them have got to be being shipped in.
Yeah.
So whether they can build a deal up with those companies that are shipping in, I don't know, fucking fashion magazines from America or something. You know what I mean? It's like that. Is that the channel to take it?
Well, it's also getting stuff printed in the place you're going to sell it. So rather than, I don't know what the cost would be, like getting it shipped over to getting it printed in the UK or the States and vice versa.
It's like that printing company we had on. Who are they? The ones that are in...
Mixam.
Now they've got... You can print directly from there. Is it American or Canadian office or something?
America,
Yeah. And so the files just get sent to fucking Watford or wherever Mixam are, and then they'll print them off, and then... You've got a built-in UK distributions, or at least a Southern England, you know.
But what concerns me is like the lack of foresight from these companies.
The thing that really hit me, mate, was the thing you sent me that said that the first people that was it Marvel, or no, it's Diamond, wasn't it? The first Diamond, people Diamond told about it was that they told flipping
Bleeding Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being told that.
It's just, what the fuck is going on with the communication in the comics industry? You know, you don't.
But you booked a holiday with Thomas Cook. You're unsure about what's happening with holiday because Thomas Cook's in trouble. Yeah. You're ringing them up fucking every hour on the hour, and then the next morning you pick up the Sun and they've done an exclusive interview telling them why they're going under.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, just to be clear, we're not saying telling Bleeding Cool why have they done that. But if you're going to do that, tell everyone else at the same time that has a stake in, like, tell them first, or, you know, at the same
time. Tell the people who are paying you money first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because, bonkers. I mean, because their thought is probably, well, a lot of eyes are going to go on this. Because it does
there's been a meeting about, can we be bothered to send them all out? Why don't we just put it through Bleeding Cool and then everyone will see it? Yeah. And you're like, I don't go anywhere near Bleeding Cool. I can't stand the fucking site. And I know a lot
for me,
of
that's,
that, you know.
That, that's just the height of kind of arrogance and not dealing with your customers.
Yeah.
In one of my businesses that I'm working with, as soon as this came along, had a letter out from one of the top people in the publication saying, this is what's happening, this is how we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the comics industry and Diamond just seemed to be like, snowballing out of control.
I've had an email from PayPal. I've had an email from my accountant. Yeah. I've had an email from my investment manager. You know, all these sort of things. They'll come. They'll straight away contact you.
This reassurance of sort of that, look, we're on this.
I think this speaks volumes to the way people are going to interact with Diamond moving forward. It's going to be interesting to see, like, when all of this sort of settles down, whenever that is in the future. I think they've made a grave error. You know, mix that with already, you know, rumblings of being discontent. In this time where people, you know, have not downtime, but, you know, people are now thinking, how can I get my product out to people?
And how can I buy it as well?
Yeah. So, you know, whereas Diamond have just put their pencils down, as it were, or switched their computers off, everyone else hasn't, because it's important.
If I was playing devil's advocate, here's what I think has happened. Diamond stopped physical distribution. Diamond then had a meeting about how else can we make money. So what's the obvious answer to that? Digital distribution, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Marvel and DC are probably in some way tied into Comixology, but they appear to put their comics elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
I reckoned, if I was playing devil's advocate and I the sort of worst possible scenario, I think Diamond may well attempt a digital platform.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would go for that, the big boys, or anyone.
Yeah.
Like, if they're very late to the game. Look at all the other things that are fucking set up.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel's got their Unlimited. You got the Comixology. There's so many digital reading platforms.
Yeah.
Why would they go with someone brand new? And why would you outsource that?
Mm.
Why would you not just do that in-house?
I think there was when Comixology started, I've got a feeling financially they used to get a slice of that because they were tied into certain contracts about distribution at the time.
Okay.
And I think they came to an agreement, and I think that has ceased now.
Mm.
Right.
Well, I think there was a discussion where they got some of the money from Comixology in the early days, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is all a shitstorm, isn't it, really, at the moment? Occasionally you do see a ray of light. Pop up. Did you see the statement from TKO?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they're good.
No, I missed that. Yeah, great.
Basically, I've just brought it up in front of me now. And lots of other people are probably going to do similar things to this, but I just read it and just thought, fucking spot on. And we've had them on the show, and we know that they live and breathe comics. So, yeah, they say comic book shops are the lifeblood of our industry, and coronavirus is threatening their existence. Over the last week, we've seen empty comic book shops, mandatory shutdowns, and shop owners worried they will not be able to keep their stores afloat during this pandemic. TKO Studios want to fight back. This probably applies to the States, so any American listeners out there. Until the end of the coronavirus threat, when any customer chooses a store during checkout at tkopresents.com, TKO will send that store 50% of the purchase price. That's the exact same amount the store would have made selling the book via their brick and mortar store. So if you choose a TKO book, buy it direct from them, I guess you tell them your local comic book store, and the comic book store gets the money even though you haven't been to the shop itself. They're still sending them the
that's
money.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah, I like the fact that there is a sense of people being charitable at the moment.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
I've started seeing a creeping feeling of people going, oh, you can't get your comics from Diamond, why not buy them from us? And I it feels a little crass at the moment, I'll be honest with you.
There's a bit of that.
I think we're still in that, look, we're all in it together, let's like muck in and look after each other, which I've really been enjoying in the comics sort of community for a while,
yeah,
you know, since the lockdown. But I think it's creeping in. If you're that sort of bloke who takes advantage of it, then you should be a little bit ashamed of yourself at the moment. I'm gonna say,
yeah,
you know,
I feel like this, the kind of the small press comics and people creating their own stuff, they didn't even have to be that small, but kind of when it gets to like really big business, I feel that's where it's stumbling. The whole, one of the, I was mentioning this earlier, but like someone, I think it was Gal Simone, mentioned it on Twitter saying, oh no, what we can do, we'll do like a Marvel DC crossover and that'll save it. And it's like, you're fucking out your head. That won't come out till like 4 to 6 months.
You've got to get that. And the people who'd have to have a meeting to sort that out.
Yeah, you know. All the wrangling. I mean, you, Tony and Adam can go after the show, say, right, we're going to do a comic about X, Y, and Z. And that could be completed within a couple of weeks.
And Adam, Jesus Christ, man. What are you drinking?
The comic Dan's Buns is coming any day.
You can guarantee that Marvel DC crossover book would be a load of old shit as well.
Yeah.
they can't make a crossover book to save their lives, any of them. They can't make an event book to save their lives. So I'd watch it just to see the car crash as each one just tries to one up each other, like Spider-Man's on top.
The dramas they've had over that sort of thing in the past, the arguments they had about who should win in fights, you know, and all this sort of thing. It's like famous when they did the Avengers Justice League thing, the fact that Captain America beat Batman is still playing on some creators' nerves to this day.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an odd one. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. I really don't.
I honestly think my prediction is we go more digital. So digital goes from whatever it is now, 22% upwards, which has got to. There's no choice at the moment. And even when we come out the other side, it will be higher. And I think we'll eventually go to the album system, the European album system. You know, of course, the other thing is Europe comics ain't affected. I'm still reading their brilliant books.
Yeah.
A few out there that I'm still sort of chewing down on.
Yeah. Yeah. So wherever and however you get your comic books, we hope you're enjoying them, reading them, supporting them direct from the creator if you can.
I would say there's two comics that need a bit of support right now, and that's James McCulloch's title on Kickstarter and Rich Carrington's Mahoney, both on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
They've only got a couple of days to run, and we need to kind of shore up the defences.
Let's go and show him some love. And from that, and these sort of things, there's going to be news articles and people's opinions and stuff every week for the next few months. That's always is anyway. Yeah. But I think the spotlight is definitely on the message. Where do we get our comics? This is a thread that will be ongoing. We're not a new show, but we will discuss it probably.
If I'm wrong at any point I've mentioned, hold my hand up. I'm not an expert on it at all, so I'm happy.
Saying it as consumers, aren't we? And what we've read.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I'm genuinely. I mean, you guys knew that I was a bit upset when Orbital fucking closed down on.
God, yeah.
So this is like that times a thousand.
Yeah, and trouble. It's fucking come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just like we've gone from like everything's fine and dandy to fucking hell, comics has been put on its ass big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's still some about.
We've still got awesome comics like one we're going to talk about right now.
yes. And we're not talking about our anthology series. We're talking about.
Although we did make a sale today, we're quite pleased.
Yeah. Which happened due to the virtual Cardiff Comic Carnival. So thanks.
Josh done, guys. Thanks, Josh.
For putting that on. I know a lot of people are checking
click through that. You can click to different tables.
That was fucking great when I saw that. That was great. That's like the future. I saw the future then. That was like them kitchen cons that seem like they're like halfway there. But that was like the other bit. So like them two together, like I wouldn't have to leave the house again.
If we could put them two together, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Like you walk around, go to a table, and then it pops up the camera feed, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, next.
You're a nightmare anyway, Adam, because I spoke to you a couple of nights ago, and you said you're the first person I've actually spoken to for days.
This is the third conversation I've had in a week.
The only trouble is, with that virtual con, if you ever go to Adam's table, we'd never be there. Talking to another creator. That's one of the things Adam's infamous for.
Going through long somewhere.
Table in my kitchen and fuck off.
Because Adam Falp is an outlaw, and he and Tony Esmond are creating Outlaw Comics, and it's something that they've mentioned with since they've started this new publishing endeavor known as Tribute Press. But the dangerous side of comics, and that sort of what are we talking about when we're saying that? I thought, you know, me and Dan would throw the microphones over to these two and talk about, you know, what they're planning to do, and you know, what exactly, you know, are Outlaw Comics, you know. So the floor is yours, gents. Tell us about the movement.
I think, to be fair, the hinterlands of comics have always been some of the more interesting places for me. Whilst I'm sort of diehard Marvel and, you know, DC and Image, I've always been interested in the strangeness, the sort of the slightly more transgressive areas of it. Yeah. And how long we known each other, Adam? Is about a year or so, I suppose. 2 years or something like that. A couple of years. And we've always talked about that sort of area of comics, and also the sort of the experimental stuff that came through in the Bronze Age. And we've done a bit of like comparing each other's buy piles at comic marts and stuff like that for the sort of freakishly strange. And it just got to the point where we weren't seeing it in the UK enough. We weren't seeing that, that feeling, you know, that what it is called Outlaw Comics. I don't know who coined it. I've got a feeling. Was it Landgraf coined it? Do you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like the term outlaw is like outlaw comics are quite like open to opinion. Like some people think they're only like some people think it's like the theme to be like an outlaw, like it would like rebelling, or some people like think of the like actual like aesthetic of the book, like black and white, scratchy,
yeah,
shadowy and inky, that sort of thing. But I would say it's like a mixture of both.
Yeah, I think so. It's a sort of there's a little bit of the FU attitude about it as well, isn't there? Yeah. And there's a lot of love for comics in it. I think if you look at anyone like Piskor and Rugg and Marfood and all these guys, they love the medium. They're just doing it slightly differently from some of the more mainstream stuff, you know?
I think you only have to read like so many, like now, like if I pick up a DC book now, I think there's only so many Superman stories you can tell before it's the same thing, but you're just changing it ever so slightly. And I think that's why I gravitate towards these books, because it's the same stuff in a DC comic, and they all look the same, and it's all just the same. So, so naturally, I want to grab something that looks nothing like those, that's telling stories that DC and Marvel wouldn't dream of putting in their 20 pages.
Yeah,
and just finding something that's like just different.
Yeah, you can't really see Johnny Ryan's prison pit, in the Justice League Dark.
I was going to mention that one because I think that's a perfect example of what, you know, that sort of stuff we're talking about. You know,
yeah.
If your brainwave is aligned to it, it's giving you everything you need, but it's not something you'd necessarily see front and center in the mainstream, is it?
I think it's come a little bit forward recently, but you're right, it's not it's not an easy thing to find. In fact, you had trouble finding the first volume, didn't you, Adam?
Yeah, I had to go all the way to New York to get it. But that's one of them things where it's like you either read it and think, what the fuck was that, but love it, and or you read it and think, what the fuck was that, and hate it.
Yeah, I think you see people who would go, what the fuck was that, why did that man just crawl out of the other monster's penis, do you know what I mean?
I often think that if you're rolling with it, then it's great stuff.
I mean, I sort of have a slightly twisted sense of humour and, like, I prefer that sort of prose stuff as well. But to see stuff like that, I was very intrigued, you know. But it doesn't, it's not a recent thing. You look back at some of the Fantagraphic stuff, Kitchen Sink Press and all these sort of guys, Zap Comics. And, you know, you go all the way back there. It's been going on for decades.
Yeah.
You know, the outliers have been there.
Yeah.
But I think we live in a sort of dismissive society, and I had a few comments thrown my way when I did the Hoare Chronicles about, you know, this sounds outrageous, you know, because people sort of kind of draw an inference into it without seeing it sometimes.
And was that purely like just down to the title, because you had this title and people judged it based on that?
Completely. And people probably heard my sense of humor, and they, you know, but I said it on another podcast, which we won't name this week, but I said, if I have to hear someone else say, I don't know whether I should laugh at that, then I think I'm going to scream. Do you know what I mean? because things are interesting and funny. You don't have to, you know, go and look at Twitter and see what's currently trending to decide whether something is funny or not, you know? And I think people are sort of, with the world of the internet and society mostly being very open, and, you know, everything's out there to be learned, but it seems to be we're closing our minds to so much now.
Hmm.
You know, there's some comics out there that would, you know, we've talked about in the history of the show. What's that one, Dan, you talked about a couple of years ago about the guy who likes wanking a lot? The American one.
Fuck.
Do you know what I mean?
Joe. Ah, damn it. Yeah, I know the one. Yeah. He has the like a threesome and he can't do it. That's so he has it. To go and has a wank. I can't remember the fucking name of it. Yeah.
Yeah, even like Peter Bagg and, you know, people like that. And look what's happened to Crumb. People have just closed their minds off to saying, you know, oh, Crumb's this. And you're not actually seeing any of the good stuff he did as well.
Yeah, it really frustrates me the way they've kind of, Crumb's been kind of cast out because he was like relatively obscure. And then he came like fucking big and everyone loved him. And then suddenly you come into this like puritanical age and it's like, oh, no, can't have that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck off then.
Yeah, it really has become puritanical. It really has become, you know, and I felt a little bit of that around the Hall Chronicles, and those right-thinking people, you know, open-minded, were prepared to give it a chance, and we had a, you know, and it ended up being sort of quite a book that people understood, I think.
Mm.
And we're also getting that around Atomic Hercules, you know. I think people who haven't read it, you know, just think, you know, especially as he kills someone with a penis.
I mean, Atomic Hercules, just to state it on the record, is a very different book from the Hall Chronicles.
Oh, completely, yeah. But it's satire as well. Look at it in that way, it's satire. Yeah. Why is the world in? It's because people are more interested in doing, what was it, arts and crafts degrees or whatever it was, you know, anime voiceover degrees or, you know, than actually learning about nuclear. It's a satire of modern society.
It's kind of, Atomic Hercules is like a big budget comic strip made by Troma.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what I'm
about. Well, when I say the comic strip, that sort of show.
Comic strip presents.
Yeah.
What do you think? I've rattled on there, Adam. Go on, you give us, because you wrote a very well written piece about our intentions that obviously I claimed I wrote. But the what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just think because this all started for me when I was looking for someone who could possibly publish some of my stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I just didn't think there was anyone. And I spoke to you about it, and we were sort of rattling through like UK publishers specifically.
Yeah.
And we were going through, and it was just like, no, 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 they wouldn't touch me. No. And it's just who are the people who are publishing like stuff that isn't Slice of Life or like crap.
we both listen to, I don't know if you, I've never asked you, Dan and Vince, if they listen to this, but we listen to that Kayfabe or watch that Kayfabe YouTube channel, and there's a huge amount of enthusiasm for all kinds of comics on that, but they're also kind of sitting in that outlaw realm, aren't they? You know what I mean?
I've never heard of this. No.
Oh, it's Ed Piskor and Jim Rugg in the most part. Yeah, and it's a really, really popular, man, like super popular.
Let's see that in the show notes. Everyone might check that out. Sounds good.
Yeah. I think Eric Larson's on the show this week. Is he?
Wow. Okay. That'd be spicy.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-hour interview with Eric Larson. And at one point, just to go off on a tangent, he, because he's never sold any of his like 240 issues of Savage Dragon, the original artwork for it.
Yeah.
So at one point, he just spins the camera around to his left. And it's like two of those sort of garage bookshelves, like cabinet things, just stacked a Bristol board, and it's every page he's ever done of Savage Dragon.
We need to plan a burglary. Yeah. Once the lockdown's finished, we need to plan a burglary of his house. But he's another guy who's doing, I mean, it kind of comes down to the fact we just want to do comics how we want to do comics, you know. Yeah. And we decided, we found, you know, me and Adam have got the sort of same opinion around it. And Larson's the same. He's doing it exactly how he wants to do it. You know,
if you follow him on like Twitter and stuff as well, he's like, he's super opinionated. And then just think, oh, is he an arsehole? But then afterwards you think, oh, fair play to him. Cause at least he ain't taking no shit. And he's doing what he wants to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, to be fair, I think if you kind of like, you do what you're going to do and you don't apologise and you just get on with it, that no one can really have you on it.
But at the same time, being respectful of others, a lot of it comes down to respect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're someone that just goes online and is an arsehole to everyone, then you're an arsehole. But if you're someone that, like, you know, hears an opinion that's wrong,
Well, I think there's people who go on there and are arseholes for the point of that, to make them slightly infamous, internet famous. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's a stupid thing to do. Totally. Yeah.
I think Tony touched on it as well. Like, I think there's a bit of a stigma with these sort of books. Like when they see the Hall Chronicles and they immediately sort of think of they think of a certain thing. But even if it was that thing, even if there was lots of sort of sex and violence in the whole Chronicles, like why can't that be good?
Yeah, like, why can't it be out there? Look at the world outside of comics. Look at pornography. Look at what's going on in the world. You know, and yet we're so in a bubble in comics. We're so Puritan, like you say, damn puritanical. Mm. We're so opinionated in comics. There's got to be a route. Look what's happening in just bloody movies and TV series that are taking chances and pushing, you know, pushing the boundaries of stuff. And, you know, like if you put a number of the jokes that are in the Inbetweeners TV series in a comic, you would be dogpiled. But the Inbetweeners series never seems to get any shit for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're heroes. They're heroes in TV.
Yeah.
But I just like the idea of, like, because I think people are dishonest about it. I think if they actually liked it, I think they'd get something out of it. If they read like a 90s, you know, porn comic, they could read it, and you know, if they were open minded enough and it was good enough, I think they would enjoy it, and they would, you know, get some out of it. But they're just not, you know, they're not willing to say, you know, I'm more like highbrow than that, you know, I'm not into that stuff.
It's very judging, and I think that's what people need to remember. In fact, there's no one in this world whose opinions I agree with completely. Some of the best friends in the I will disagree with them on some point. You know, we're not all, you know, co-aligned, you know, into the same fucking opinion. But it does seem to be going that way, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm lucky that I sort of flew under the radar a little bit with the Hawk Chronicles, because I'm sure I would have if I was making it for a company like, I don't know, Image or Marvel especially, I would have got fucking killed. It probably wouldn't have got made over the presumptions that people made about the product before it was even seen. So I mean, getting slightly off subject here, but we wanted to make comics in our own way, I suppose, is the baseline of it all. We want to do comics that are both good and also fun, but also sort of slightly more dangerous as well, which I don't think people are taking chances anymore on, you know?
When we did our anthology, I pushed it a little bit out of my safety zone with Viper, but you've gone a lot further with Atomic Hercules, and I really applaud you for that.
Yeah, and it's not serious. Part of me, do you know what I mean?
No. It's fun. It's kind of like, Vince said, that was a great analogy. It's just like, well, just go for it. Why not?
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that's really safe and plays it by the book. Why not just try something different? There's nothing
Who could possibly be insulted by it? It's set in the future. Do you know what I mean? There's mutants and robots. So if you're being insulted, if you're feeling personally insulted by that, I think you really need to get a grip on what's going on.
Tony. I reckon someone's like just finished college for the day at their anime voiceover degree and just picked one up. What the fuck is this?
There might upset a few unicorn fans. That's a little hint for you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I finished all the scanning of the artwork today for issue 2.
Nice. I sent them always a little corner. Oh, I sent them a page, actually, that page you sent me. I love that page. Good page.
That is a fantastic page.
Was this project something you guys, like, it was an idea for it before you started, or you said, right, let's get together and make a comic. Then the idea came about.
Adam approached me to write something for him, and you'd never written with anyone else before, had you?
It all started I tweeted like a bunch of covers from like weird 70s Marvel books, and I said, I've been thinking about doing like my own sort of what Tony refers to as the Falkverse. It wouldn't be cool if someone like did like 70s Marvel comics, but today. And a few other people said, oh yeah, it would be good. So then I asked Tony if he could write one. And then I asked a couple of people, but their ones like fell by the wayside. And then the idea itself like fell by the wayside because I think me and Tony just started having so much fun just writing and drawing like Atomic Hercules.
Yeah, and saying that, there is one other person who's involved. We're not going to name yet, are we? Is that right?
Yeah, we can name him. He's fine.
Oh, go on then. Yeah, you go on then. It's your project.
So I've finished the artwork for Atomic Hercules 2, and then I'm moving on to a book with Fraser Campbell called Knockout and Tiger Style. And that is, it is essentially, it's kind of like Power Man and Iron Fist with a bit of Fight Club with a bit of like 70s Kung Fu movies.
That's a great title as well.
Sold. Yeah, that's a fucking great title.
Yeah.
That's a fucking dynamite title.
Yeah. And Fraser is a cracking writer as well. He's really diverse.
And he gets it as well. He gets the sense of humour and what we're going for. In fact, I think I said on the other day, he referred to me as an evil genius the other day on Twitter, which I was quite proud of.
Once it's done, I might just sort of like retire, because I reckon if I had to pick two people to draw for, it would have been Tony and Fraser.
We need a crossover.
So once I've done it, I'm just going to let you know.
Yeah.
A crossover. Fucking hell.
That'd be good. It's like when Spawn met Cerebus. It'd be those issues. But it's we're going to probably put the Tony Osmond is a Movie Star out. Me and Mr. Cumber are doing it at the moment, so that's going to come out through Tribute. And we've got a little bit of a. You've been investigating it a bit, haven't you? We haven't really talked about this on a podcast yet, Adam. But you've been investigating formats for a possible third book.
So I think we have sort of unanimously decided that there's going to be more Atomic Hercules once I finish this one, maybe at the end of the year or something. But yeah, so I'm really, like we mentioned earlier, that I'm really into like print stuff, but I'm also like super into like formats. So I've been looking into like Treasury editions, digest books, like you name it, like hardcovers, you know, paperbacks, novel sizes.
Yeah, I can see us doing a commando style one with just two panels per page for one of them. Do you know what I mean? That'd be great, especially for a martial arts book.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Just whip it out on the bus to make the woman next to you feel uncomfortable.
That's something Dan's done a lot.
Study now. So obviously Atomic Hercules then has birthed Tribute Press. But how much discussion have you had to... I mean, obviously, you're thinking about different formats and stuff. But in terms of, a publishing model, shall we say? Or is it something that it's just going to be something that you guys come up with these ideas and other people sort of do them? Or eventually, if someone comes to you and says, I've got this mental idea, can I put your banner on it or whatever and then, you know, get it out there? You know,
Really discussed it. We're very much, the core is, me and you and Fraser and Cliff are kind of is the core... at the moment, isn't it? I don't know if I'd feel comfortable about promoting someone else. Not that I don't, obviously don't mind promoting other people's books because it's what I do every day, but I don't know whether we're quite the right place to.
Because it won't be long before.
Put it that way.
It won't be long before you'll have, you know, you've got a table's worth of books. Do you know what I mean? With that kind of output.
And then we're selling the whole Chronicles through the site as well now, so we've already got a few. And Adam's books, which I'm sure we'll get onto in a second, where we'll be selling through there, you know.
Yeah. So does that mean that everything you're going to merge, for instance, Adam, your books are now going to merge into the Tribute Press stuff, you know?
I've got to say, I almost like, when I, just before I started Atomic Hercules, I like reset the FALP continuity. So like anything I've done before, like I try not to talk about anymore.
Oh, that was that was your blue period, and now you've moved on to the...
Yeah, we're still in the blue period, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I've moved on, I think, in not just like as an artist or a writer or anything, but just like in terms of my tastes and what I like, and the old stuff is best left in the past, I think.
I mean, part of your enthusiasm for this, if we can move slightly on, is your visit to America, because didn't you end up comic shopping with Jim Rugg? Is that right? Is that what happened?
Oh yeah.
So, tell us about this. It is
a pilgrimage. Visit to Mecca for you, isn't it?
A comics pilgrimage. You know, how did your comics pilgrimage come about, and what happened on it?
I mean, I just booked. So I flew out to, I think maybe it was last September. I was in New York for about a week, and I went to like every comic shop in New York. And then I was there for 2 weeks, but there was about 3 or 4 days in the middle where I sort of came out and went overnight to Pittsburgh, where Jim Rugg is from. And I heard that there was like a great independent comic shop called Copacetic Comics in Pittsburgh, and so I visited there, and it was like a really, I was told it was in like a nice, like the nice part of town, but it was fucking rough. So I'm not sure what the rest of Pittsburgh like, but so I eventually found this comic shop, and it's like on the very top level of like a third story building. It's like a coffee shop at the bottom, and then like in the middle there's like an accountancy firm, and then if you go right to the top there's like a small like comic shop, and it's run by like this crazy dude called like Bill, and he looks a little bit like he's quite Doc Brown-esque. So I went into his shop, and he doesn't have a diamond account, so he sells no like DC, he sells no Marvel. All he has are like most, he has like racks of like Fantagraphic stuff, and the rest is where he like he goes out to shows. He might go to like small press expo, and he'll buy a couple of it from each table, and then he brings them back and then has the show again in his shop. And it's quite, I think it's quite popular, because I think people like queue up to try and like, because obviously they can't make like 8-10 hour drives or whatever. So when you go there normally, so he sells most of it, but like when you go there normally, like half the shop is like these like long boxes, and at the front it will say Heroes Con 2013, and that's what he's got left from all that year.
And then
the next one will be like SPX 2016, and it will have all that he had left from that show. And you get, so you sort of go through, and it's like a little snapshot of what everyone was selling at that show at that time. So I met him, and he knows Jim Rugg. So the next day I was heading off to like a basement sale, a place called New Dimension Comics, which was about an hour out of like the main city. So I hired a car and went out there, hit this basement sale, which was just like crazy. Like I think they open their basement like twice a year, because it's so big that they have to spend the six months in between like putting it back into alphabetical order. So I was just going through books, and I was in there altogether for about like 11 hours or something. But at one point there was a guy sort of going through books next to me, and it was Jim Rugg. And he sort of had headphones in, and I was like, well, I flew all the way here from London, so I might as well say something. So I sort of made him take his headphones out, which I did feel bad about. But it turns out he was just like the nicest fucking dude. And we spoke for about maybe like half an hour, 40 minutes. And we went through like the comics we had like got, and we were speaking about, you know, Jack Kirby and all sorts. And he was like super interested in the UK independent like small press scene. So we spoke about that for absolutely ages. Yeah, and then so we went comic shopping for a bit, and that was that. But like to kind of head back to like my stuff a little bit. So when I was in Copacetic, I was sort of looking around, and I sort of went, would I be happy if my books were on like the shelves next to all this like brilliant stuff? And I was like, oh, not really. And I think at the time I'd penciled and inked like 28 pages of another book that no one's ever seen, because I came home and put it in like my recycling bin, and then I started writing and drawing Satan's Library.
I didn't know that, mate. Yeah.
So that was like, I think I went off the comics deep end. And I was like, my idea was I would go out there, and I took my iPad with me, and I was supposed to be colouring it while I was there. So I was going in all these great sort of independent like comic shops in the day, coming back to my hotel at night and like colouring my stuff. And I was like, this is shit. Like this ain't as good as the stuff I've been looking at today. So yeah, I stopped doing that, and then come back, wrote and drew a book called Satan's Library.
I mean, Satan's Library was a real departure for you, especially from stuff like The Fragment. You know, it was really different, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think, and I think that we had a big sort of, you know, influence. Like the Satan's Library touches on like comic shops. There's a little bit of like the guy Bill at Copacetic who I met, and he's great shop. There's, you know, the little mini book inside, which is a little bit like most of the books I was going through were.
So that people who don't know this book, it's basically a kid who visits a comic shop, and he buys two comics, and you've basically made up Bronze Age comics, including sort of spoofing the adverts, and you've inserted that in a smaller format into the pages of the larger comic. Is that a good description of it?
So it's about it's a kid who goes into a weird comic shop down the back of an alley, and he asks the guy who's like serving if he's got any comics, and he hands him like a generic like Bronze Age book, and as he hands it, you get to the page turn in the book where there's the little book, so you read what he reads, and then it sort of goes back, and he says he's not happy with that. So then they head to the basement, and then he hands him another book, which you also get to, which is a bit weirder, and that sort of harkens back to our love of like the strange books.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Wow, so it's quite a thing, isn't it? When I remember reading it and did it, I mean, I genuinely thought it was the next level for you.
Yeah.
Because you've got, it's an underground comic, basically, what you've made there, isn't it? It's essentially that. Do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, like I say, like there's a lot more of that going on in the States than there is in over here, I think.
Yeah, which is a shame. There's little corners of it. There's little tiny bits of it here and there, but it soon sort of disappears. We had the I was chatting to you about it the other day, the Lord Horror stuff, and we had a few sort of things, especially in the 90s. There was a bit more experimentation going on, maybe.
I mean, that's kind of gone away, and that's almost what Tribute Press is about. And long-winded answer, like, because they do have them, like, I guess the closest thing that we have to these shows is maybe something like LCAF, but like the themes of LCAF just are miles apart, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, if you search hard enough at LCAF, you'll find a little bit of it. You know, like, trying to think who would be there. I know John Tucker was going to be there this year, and John's a little bit like that, isn't he? You know, John's sort of doing his own stuff out there. Yeah,
I quite like that about LCAF. Like, I've been like maybe like the last 4 years, but like for me, the fun is like finding something that I think is quite, you know, quite decent among.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Oliver does it every year, and the guy does. Who's the guy who does Om Comics? Excuse me, I can't remember his name for the moment.
Oh shit! Yeah,
Andy Barron.
Yeah, Andy Barron does. Andy's similar, isn't he? You know.
Yeah. I've got you, Andy, if you're listening.
Yeah. We like Andy's stuff. He messaged me the other day. He's got a new one on the way. Yeah. Really like his stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, back to Satan's Library, because I've got a copy in front of me now. It's a lovely put together book as well. Because Tony was sort of saying you do sort of, you get the sort of little versions of these mini comics as you're reading through. And it's wonderfully put together. Did you hand put these books together? How did you put this sort of?
So I don't. I mean, I use a printer which I won't name, but they're quite good, but they have a tendency to be a little unhelpful if you're trying to do something that isn't your standard 24 page US size comic. Right. So I had to get the books and then order the other little books to go inside, and then unstaple them, and then staple it back together with a cover, which I painted the cover, and then stapled.
You painted the cover. You painted each cover individually, didn't you?
So each cover. So that's like just like black card for the cover, which I painted each one, and then put it all together.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
That goes to the level of art form. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's art.
Yeah.
Have you got any copies of this left, or is it like a super limited, just one-off and done sort of thing?
I'm going to reprint them under like the Tribute Press. I've finished like a new cover for it.
Okay.
Oh wow.
And I'm going to sort of put them out again. And, like,
I don't recall that being discussed in our recent board meeting, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. been quarantined, so I've been.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay. Plus, we're outlaws, so we don't discuss things.
Just do it.
You've got that My Little Pony book coming out. You know, I found on the website today.
I'm trying to get Vince to draw it.
don't ask me to draw horses, man.
You were lamenting drawing an office, Vince.
Oh yeah, drawing an office. Fucking hell, why did every week that the listeners just have to hear me complain about something I've had to draw. Damn you, backgrounds. But yeah, when you choose to like put detail into them, and even if it's just like a stack of papers and like, you know, stationery stuff on a desk, sort of, and then you realise you've got to draw it for a couple of panels and you're like, why?
Just pixelate it, Vince. That's what I learned many years ago, my friend.
I can't now. I've committed. So, and I probably will be committed by the time I finish.
When's the first day of that? When are we getting it? When's it getting launched, babes? Do you know? You planned anything or?
Well, I haven't planned any specific date yet because I've got a couple of other jobs on the go that
Oh yeah, of course you have. Oh yeah, we'll be hearing about that soon.
Yeah, so I'm just building up the pages now.
Good idea. No pressure.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I love it. I love going back to the pages and then, like, you know, keep doing the colour, because obviously I'm doing it all belt buckle and braces. You know how you do it, Dan. Bloody hell. You know, and churn it out. It's I'm getting. Down,
I think it's the process.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's not so much the time doing it.
Yeah, and it all depends on what the story is as well, and the page layouts and stuff. Because a lot of the things I'm doing at the moment are a little more technical. There's a lot more to them. Certain setup and dialogue scenes. But eventually, I will get into the rhythm. It will move beyond that setting. And then being another sort of setting that will be a little bit looser, a little bit easier, and yeah. By that time, I would have built up a bit of a routine sort of thing. But
there you go. Yeah. Looking forward to it, mate. Yeah, looks good.
Well, you guys will probably see a bit more before anyone else. Anyway, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes. So yeah, Tribute Press. How did the name come about?
Oh, you thought of it, didn't you? I didn't think of it.
It was what I had on the inside cover of Atomic Hercules when I printed it, and it's supposed to be like I was trying to think of names that like the 80s like crappy comic companies like Eclipse and Comico, and I was trying to think of like something that they'd possibly use.
There's what do you mean crappy? Like, hang on a minute, what's all this about?
I say crappy because that's the quickest way of defining them. I love them. I love the clip.
Oh, a bit of DNA agents. Can't beat it.
Surely, is it not DNA agents?
Is that how you say it? DNA agents. Yeah, I suppose you do. Yeah, I think you do. Yeah. I'm that bad. I was looking at Malibu comics today. I was thinking I was like jonesing for a few Malibu comics. So I was looking at them on eBay.
Yeah.
Prime, I remember only a couple of years ago reading that X Mutants comic that they put out, and I thought, I don't remember this being too bad. And I looked at it, I was fucking way off base on that. This is awful.
Yeah. I would say Prime's still pretty. I mean, it's a bit crazy, but it's good.
I like the whole idea of Prime. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go much on Hard Case's design though.
That was Gibbons, wasn't it? Dave Gibbons, that.
Yeah.
One that would totally not fly today was that comic Mantra. Do you remember that?
Like a sexy witch lady.
Where it's kind of like all these kind of like dudes, and they'd die, and then they'd get regenerated in a new host, and then the dude got regenerated into like the woman's body. And here we go. Mm. This is going to be trouble. But
a Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
But yeah, Prime, I like the idea of that, like a young boy fantasy where it's like got body horror in it.
Yeah, it's a bit twisted. Yeah.
I've mentioned it before, but Nightman got a TV series.
Yeah. It's got a fucking banging intro.
Yeah.
It's like playing jazz.
Yeah, jazz, wasn't it?
Superhero.
Yeah.
If you're at a comic mart and you see Malibu in it, it looks like a lot of those sort of late 80s, 90s independent comics that sometimes the cover doesn't really do them justice. You know, just pick one up.
They're quite readable, some of them. Yeah. Do you remember Firearm?
Yeah.
And the first issue of Fireman had like a fake VHS box or something, didn't it, with it? Ah. Robinson wrote that. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Impact stuff as well, when they tried to, they released all that? They had the Fly, Black Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shield.
Yeah.
I used to quite like the Black Hood. And
well, they're Red Circle characters, aren't they? So they've tried them a couple of times. So they're Archie Comics is superheroes.
Yeah.
A couple of them. And they brought them back, I'm going to say, about 8 years ago. DC tried it again. They did the Hangman and the Fly and a couple of other things. And they just never seem to sort of hit, but they sort of jump around between companies.
The Fly is basically the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Red Circle did some killer comics. Have you seen that? The Super Cops cover? I maintain is like one of the best covers of all time.
Yeah, that's great. I only got a copy of that last year. Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Was it Super Cop?
Yeah, it's the movie. The movie
Super Cock. Don't Google that, Dan.
Do Google it. Google it now. It's a movie. I think it's a movie adaptation, isn't it? Super Cop.
Oh, is it Jackie Chan?
No, it's before that. Yeah, I think it's like a 70s or early 80s, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, so that is a Jackie Chan movie as well, I think, coincidentally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's all those little companies were doing stuff. I mean, PC Comics, AC Comics. Do you remember Femme Force? Anyone remember that? That was a dodgy old title. That was just a lot of women with big tits. Yeah.
That's not
my
like
Friday
a...
night. That's sexist joke. I take that back.
It's not your internet history. That's what I'll say.
Less said about that,
incognito mode. Can't get me on that. Do a lot of shopping for my wife's presents. That's what you use it for, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we've got obviously Tribute Press is alive and kicking now. So you know, stay tuned because you you're real now. You've got a Twitter. You've got social media. So it exists and it's a thing. So what is the future? Because obviously we talked about Atomic Hercules when the Kickstarter was coming out and a bit about the book and stuff. And certainly if you want to know more, including like there's an audio commentary about the book. Then,
we stuck that as a podcast as well now, so you don't have to have bought the book sort of thing.
So the podcast for that, where can they find that? If they've got Atomic Hercules and want an audio commentary, where can they find it?
You go to Never Iron Anything on Podbean, you'll find it.
Judas.
Episode 2.
Judas.
Judas. You're on it soon. Shut up.
Leaving, take that all over again.
Bobby. Broke my heart when he left.
Yeah. So you've got that. But what's in the future, for the next, year?
We haven't really got a cunning publishing plan other than Atomic Hercules 2. Kung Fu Book with Fraser, which looks great. And then Tony Osmond. And then we've got this Atomic Hercules project, which you probably won't... I've told you two guys the title of it because it made me laugh. But we haven't. I'm sort of writing that anytime now.
Yeah.
And that'll be next towards the end of the year. And whatever else Adam puts out this week. You've got another... you messaged me saying, I'm doing this other comic this week. And what are you going on about? You didn't tell me about this one. What's that? What's the one you're doing this week?
Oh, that was... that went in the I was looking for it today. I've got a folder on my desktop. It's called Ships Old Stuff. I normally get about 2 pages into like these little side things and then end up just like hating it and then put it in there. So that has gone in there. That was a little strip I started called Z-List Vigilante, and it was nothing. There was no premise other than a man goes onto like a Love Island style villa and just starts gunning down all like the big titted bimbos. I might put that out. But I was looking like there's literally like hundreds of pages of like things that I've started and haven't finished in there.
It's all right. So I've got loads of that, loads of writing projects I've not finished. Yeah, it's a good place to sort of mine when you need to think of something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like having all those notebooks, you know.
Yeah. So you've got a website and everything, so where can people find out more about Tribute Comics then?
It's tribute-comics.com. the website, and you can see what we've got. It's not full of stuff at the moment. It won't take you long to read, I've got to be honest with you, because Adam's only just made it. what's the Twitter, Adam?
I think it's just
tribute-press.com and at Tribute Press.
There you go. Yeah, thank you.
Twitter's and Instagrams when I can be bothered to manage them.
He keeps trying to give me the passwords, and I keep sort of ignoring the messages because I'm rubbish.
I just think I have enough, like, trying to like manage my own ones. I just find it like, ugh. So now I've got another one to do, which is essentially the same thing because it's just mine and Tony's work.
Yeah, thanks to everyone we got another review in today of who was it? Did Alistair Black did the one today, didn't he? And it was he properly totally got it. I was really pleased. He saw exactly what we were going for. It's all right.
Awesome. My favourite one was the review of On the Bus you got. That was good.
Oh yeah, what was that one? Last week's guest.
Yeah, yeah. I think she read our little two pager that we sent with the Kickstarter, and that was. I've got to say, I was drawing that, and I think I'm not sure. Like, I find this funny. Tony finds this funny. I'm not sure how many other people will, but hey ho, people find that funny. So,
well, JWC we had on last week, who's a great guest. She really good, really good person, and really interesting. She, I said, oh, do you want to read? You know, she said, well, send it to me, and I suddenly thought. Oh no. And I said, look, it's a bit lively. So rather than sending her Atomic Hercules, I sent her On the Bus because it's only two pages and it's kind of our origin story or fake origin story. And she got back to me and said, you know what? I've had a shit week. That's really cheered me up. And I thought, oh, brilliant. That's excellent. So, of course, because I'm a knob, I followed it up with, do you want to read Atomic Hercules? But actually, she quite enjoyed it as well, which I was quite, after pressing,
fantastic. You know,
Your finger hovers over send, doesn't it? And you think, oh my God,
is this, this right? Is this the right thing?
Yeah, she totally got it because she's an intelligent lady, you know. Yeah. So so it's fine. But the thing that always makes me laugh about On the Bus is the fact you put me in Crocs.
An accurate depiction from whenever we've met.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I've got a fucking office near Adam's house. So if I'm in the office occasionally we're like messaging, I said, we'll just pop up for a coffee. And we end up just like sitting there going through comics and talking shit in our office. So it's almost become Tribute Press HQ, isn't it? That's kind of the plan. That's what we're saying.
Mm. Yeah.
We've got a cupboard with comics in there, our comics. It looks pretty impressive.
You change them round. So whenever I get there, I'm like, oh, is this what you're going to be reading this week? And you go,
Yeah, and then we sort of sit there drinking coffee, reading comics. Sort of vaguely talking about publishing plans. That's how it should be, man. How it should be.
Look at you, hipster.
Yeah, hipsters.
I think it's similar to what Marvel and DC do, to be honest.
Yeah. I like to think in the early days, that's how Marv Wolfman and Jim Starlin, or, you know, Roy Thomas, so they just sat about smoking weed and doing acid. We just have flat whites, you know.
Yeah. Gangsters.
Yeah. Yeah. Their drinks are safe, but their comics are not. So. Yeah. And both of them are hot. The drinks and the comics. I mean, not both. Well, I mean, you know, you're attractive, gentlemen. Anyway,
I might have to interview you for the publishing, for the production area, the promotion area of our comic. I think, right, he's on the letterheads now, Vince. Put him on there. Promotion.
The comics are hot, the drinks are hot, and both men, well, I'm not sure about that, but I mean, they're not too bad. But anyway.
Yeah, if you like that sort of thing.
Saying Tony's hot because you'll only message me later.
Yeah.
Pitch a message.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't need any more of them. Anyway, yeah, we highly encourage you to follow Tribute Press. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will anyway, but, you know. I mean, me and Dan, we're privy to some of the things that they've got planned, and it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait for all of those titles.
Yeah, yeah.
So, thanks, guys.
Yeah, be quiet, Tony, you're a guest. So, no, but what we're on now is the shout-out section. We've got any shout-outs? We've got a couple this week, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, first off, can I give a shout-out to Gary and Katie Hill? Gary is a listener. Yeah. And a good guy, does a few reviews himself. He's quite active comics wise. Yeah. They had Elora, I think it is, a baby girl just today.
Congrats.
Congratulations. Yeah. Gary's a big Vanguard fan, and I'm a big Gary fan.
Yeah, so, nice.
Well, Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Guys, there's so much love in this room tonight. It's amazing.
And a bit of a shout-out. If you've got any spare comics you want to donate that could possibly be taken into hospitals or maybe given to frontline NHS workers for their kids to keep them occupied in this difficult time, then go to Fair Spark Comics. So if you go to, or Little Heroes, go to at Little Heroes Kit or littleheroescomics.co.uk and arrange to donate some comics. I'm dropping some comics into a local hospital tomorrow at my end, and I think it's probably something we should all be thinking about doing. It's a good idea.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
I've already sent a couple of issues of Atomic Hercules into the air.
Oh my god.
Yeah, good idea.
Kickstarter wise, there's a new Kickstarter on the board, which already smashed its target, but it's always well worth checking out. It's the new project from Ryan K. Lindsay. The artist is Chris Panda, who is an amazing illustrator. This is a book called She, At the Tower of All That Is Known. The synopsis is basically, after burying her only daughter, the deadliest bounty hunter in the galaxy discovers her next job will jeopardize the only thing she has left, her secrets. It's a one-shot sort of story. It looks absolutely awesome. Just checking out the artwork. There's a hardcover sort of version that they're funding, as well as the digital. You know Ryan's Kickstarters; he's always good for the money. There's pretty decent value across the board. This is done through Comics Tribe as well. You know that publisher? They've
We haven't spoken about them for a couple of years, but I know they're still about.
They're still doing great stuff. I think they've done quite a few successful Kickstarters. For those print junkies out there, the cover is a thing of beauty because it's the main character's sort of face mask, and it's in three layers. So the cover is like the helmet, and then there's a sort of like tracing paper like sheet of the sort of screen over her face, which has a logo on it, and then the front of the comic itself is her face. So it's sort of, it's gorgeous.
Oh, I saw that, it looks good. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's nice, sort of a little bit 90s about it in there.
Looks absolutely gorgeous. If you're in the Australia or the US, there is free shipping if you want the hard copies and stuff, but there's loads of digital extras as well if you just want to get a hold of it. I think this is the beginning of a character you're going to see like a few sort of one shot stories of, and I'm a bore because the actual design is badass as well. So I mean, I this is the first time I've discovered Chris Panda's work. I need to definitely check out more of this. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I've actually finished it as well. So yeah, what else we got?
One thing I find galling about Kickstarter is if you go to the comics section and you scroll down and you see all the comics that have done like 300-500% of their pledge goal, there's always one thing they've got in common, and you know what it is. It's fucking TNA.
It
is very much like that, isn't it?
It's like there's loads of titles of it, oh, that sounds good, and then there's like you get the TNA one and it's like, oh, 400% funded.
It's uncanny, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I've pledged to one that's going at the moment with Mike Grell, the artist on it. It's called The Pilgrim by Mark Ryan and Mike Grell, and that's Mike Grell, you know, one of the best comics artists ever, and that's literally just hit 100% with 7 days to go.
Right,
okay. And it looks fucking amazing.
There's one here, like it's got a blonde woman with boobs hanging out, and it says a 32-page adventure. 10 grand, well, nearly 11 grand, 364% funded, 17 days to go. It's like, you can sort of say what you like, but like that sells, that stuff.
Sex sells,
But, you know, are the comics any good? That's the...
Right, Adam, get on that. TNA issue.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Vince, it don't matter if the comics are any good, mate, because you've got their 11 grand by that point.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I was... For when I'm looking to do Viper later in the Kickstarter, I was going to do like a kind of one-page sex scene and then use that heavily to sell the book. Yes. And when I print it, at the back of the comic, it's going to be, this is the page I use to sell the Kickstarter. Right. And this...
you're not being dishonest. It's not dishonest, is it?
No. Yeah, it's in the comic.
And it's a good comic to boot.
You dirty bastards.
That's I'm not like sure if I did button. That, though, and then that I would never get any other backers ever again for whatever I did.
You'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, we'll have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a brilliant
I can make cringy fucking videos from my mansion singing to people.
Yeah.
That is one of the great things that people are actually fucking realizing how stupid some of these celebrities are at the moment.
Yeah,
that is what's making me laugh at the moment. When they, as much as I would crawl across naked glass to put pins in her shit, the woman who played Wonder Woman singing in that video, Tony, Jesus Christ,
Tony, your language, as always, is it's just so poetic. Oh, there was Shakespeare, and then there's you, isn't there?
He's a writer.
Clearly a writer.
I didn't realize that was fucking Madonna. Like,
oh my god, that looks.
What's happened there?
Yeah. I think my reply to that was Christ and a bike. Is that Madonna?
Yeah,
that's the name of the next autobiography. Madonna.
Christ and a bike.
What's happened there?
Yeah, fucking none. What's that all about?
The fuck's happened there?
I had the idea of being called Christ on a bike. Right.
There's
text it one.
There's actually a comic in Viz. They did one of those one-page comics called Christ on a Bike. And he goes, Jesus Christ was the luckiest saviour in all Jerusalem because his dad was a carpenter and made him a wooden bike.
that's quite an old phrase. I got that off my dad, Christ on a Bike. Remember an old guitar teacher of mine used to, whenever he ever made a mistake, he'd go, oh, fuck a nun. And I sort of adopted that. I thought that was all right as well.
Christ on a Bike. Yeah, that's a strange one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And from such highbrow talk, is that all the shout outs we got this week?
I think I've done it.
I did my two earlier with the Kickstarters.
Yeah.
James McCulloch's. And let's see if I can quickly get the title. You just fill this bit of space. Have we got another Merrick? No, it's already done. I saw Merrick told fucking. I was like, oh bloody! I didn't see that. It was on Kickstarter. James McCulloch's comic and Rich Carrington's Mahoney's.
Yeah,
we both need our help.
The links will be in the show notes. Which
and they're brilliant comics.
I will endeavour to.
I reviewed one a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember? Is it VAO07 or something? I can't remember. Yeah.
I will endeavour to update the links for both this week's and last week's show. So once you've finished checking out this, go to the Podbean page. And the link should be there, hopefully.
Yeah.
And and a shout out to anyone who listened and actually didn't mind the fact that I didn't edit last week's episode properly for the first couple of hours it was live. The outro music was in the wrong place. So
was it? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Okay.
A shout out to Gary again from Comics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Who just sort of said, "Have you noticed this?" I was like, "Oh, bugger!" I was so eager to get the episode out. And then
Gary did that typo on my fucking Vanguard as well.
Yeah.
The book page getting into it. Did he mean to put that page in twice?
I think we need to start paying him as like a proofing.
Proofreader.
Yeah, proofreader. Yeah. Oh, and listener. So there you go. So, and apologies. I'm not going to give any apologies. Yeah, last week's episode went out later, but I was busy. Deal with it. So,
it was a global pandemic. So.
Yeah.
The world is coming to an end. But don't worry, it'll be out by 1 o'clock tomorrow.
As the bombs go off, all the new episodes out.
They're driving around in your supercharged V8 and listening to the latest podcast.
Eating a tin of dog food. Oh, when's the Awesome Comics podcast out?
Someone needs to edit that scene from Fury Road where, like, Tom Hardy's stuck to the front of the car and they're driving along and you could just do it that they're listening to us.
You can just hear our theme tune over the...
Oh, dear. Anyway, comics. We're going to recommend some comics this week. And I think our lovely guest should go first this week. He's a comics connoisseur. Yeah. So, Adam, what would you like to recommend to our listeners?
I'll take to the stage to mention my main man, Jim Rugg, once more. This is a book that I don't think I've heard mentioned before. This is a book called Aphrodisiac, as in Afro and then Disiac. So a little bit of backstory. So Jim Rugg does a book called Street Angel, and I think the character Aphrodisiac appeared in it once or twice. So then he got his own book. It's hardcover by Ad House. It's about 100 pages, I think. And basically, the premise is fairly simple. He's kind of like a Black Dynamite character, but his power is he's so charming that he can seduce anyone. So the book is made up of maybe a dozen strips of varying length. So there's a couple of 10 pages, but most of them like are fairly short and mostly revolve around him coming into like some sort of trouble and then using his charm to get out of it. So the first strip, he's been held hostage, and the bad guy in it has he knows of aphrodisiac's powers, so he's hired these two lesbians to torture him, but even that can't stop them falling for his charms. So in the end, they end up making love, and then he chases and then fights the bad guy.
Did you say making love? Just so we're clear about this, so I can warn you with it later on.
There's a story where aliens come down to attack Earth, but they fall in love with him. There's a story where he fights Dracula. There's a story where he fights Richard Nixon, and the whole thing is done in like a super like 70s aesthetic. The whole thing is beautiful. Like, look at the pages, and it's sort of like it's what I tried to do in the fragment, but only done by a master, and it's very beautiful. And I think it's on Amazon. I think it's one of these books on Amazon where I think if it's been in the warehouse too long, they like slash the price. So I think it's on there for like £7 for a hardcover.
Oh, I'll get that. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I know that's. I know the 11 o'clock podcast talked about that a few years ago and really loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like super. If you enjoy like comics from the 80s, the 70s and 80s, like this is for you. Like you'll like really appreciate like. The whole thing is basically just in jokes.
Sort of blaxploitation stuff, is it? Is that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Yeah. So if you appreciate, like in jokes from like 70s Marvel stuff, you'll really like it. And Jim is like an amazing cartoonist as well. He tries sort of lots of, he's got a style, but he'll go off and do like, so there's like different styles in here. So there's something where he like goes for like a bit of like a Calvin and Hobbes vibe. And then there's another one where he goes for like a little bit more detailed. And then there's another one where he kind of just, he does it in biro. But yeah, pick it up. It's great.
Oh, good stuff.
Awesome.
Nice one. I've got two. One's a little mention. Shall I do mine and then go on someone else and I'll finish up?
Yeah, go for it.
So I just want to give a little shout out to Cats, The Butthole Cut by Matt Simmons, which is a mini folded in, you know, folded zine kind of comic. I wrote a review of it today, which is mostly sarcasm about the movie, but it's kind of about his experiences going to see the movie Cats, and it just made me chuckle. So I'll just read you the last paragraph of it, because that's just made me laugh. It says, "The icing on the cake is Judy Dench's closing monologue, which acts like it's going to end three times, but always cuts right back to her so she can talk more about fish paste or some such shit." And do you know? And the very last paragraph goes, "Do you know what? Fuck it. Here's Taylor Swift's butthole. You deserve it." And he's drawn a butthole.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Now, if you go to mattsimmonscomic.bigcartel.com, or if you follow him on @sherifffreak on Twitter, if you buy anything from his store, you'll get this for free. And I actually just went on and bought a random item because I wanted this so much, because it just like amused me. Yeah. It's if you're either a furry or a fan of the movie, don't buy it, to be fair. But it is very funny, and it's just the sort of thing you feel like doing and never do when you come out seeing a bad movie. That is so, this is obviously so egregiously bad that he turns experiences into a little mini comic. But it's good, stuff. Yeah, good fun.
Amazing. Dan, do you want to go next?
Yes. I backed this on Kickstarter. Tony, you've read this one too.
Yes.
It's a fucking joy. Nocturnal Brilliant. Commissions, a macabre monster mystery. The blurb is, X-Files meets the Monster Squad when a werewolf, a vampire, and a zombie open a detective agency. A 36-page comic book epic created by Jason McNamara, and the art is by Hinkle?
Greg Hinkle, yeah.
Greg Hinkle, that's it. Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's like an origin story to a nice intro to the characters, but a really fulfilling story. And you get, I can't talk too much about one of the characters because they're introduced as the story goes along, but you're introduced to the werewolf character and the vampire character, and they're great because the werewolf character is very kind of like down in the dirt, getting his hands dirty, sort of taking it to the, I don't know, a bit gross, whereas the vampire is a bit want to keep his hands clean, sort of bit snooty.
Pompous and, yeah, snooty.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a great scene where he goes, when they're being attacked by a load of zombie werewolves, and he goes, I'll go low, you go high, and the vampire just goes, well, obviously. Yeah. It's just like, just these like little moments. I said to you a minute ago, before we started, my favourite moment is where he goes up to the woman who's employing them, and he goes, oh, you clearly had porridge and a Bolivian coffee and a cinnamon bun on the side for breakfast, because he's a werewolf, he should know these things, you know. Oh, that's impressive. And she goes, that's nowhere near what I have for breakfast. And it's like genius.
They go to this private island to sort of sort out this case that they've been assigned to, and they get met at the as the helicopter lands, like a tropical island, by a guy wearing like a polo neck shorts, kind of like one of the rangers out of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He says, look, this island's in like international waters, so it's pretty much anything goes. So the werewolf's like, oh, don't worry, we're not here to judge. And the vampire says, of course not, but if I was inclined to, I'd start with the shorts.
I love that bit.
It's all the way through, like the two of them like bouncing off each other. Great characters, great art.
Yeah, I really want. We loved Hinkle on Airborne. Yeah. We talked about it a couple of years ago, and he's genius.
His colouring, it's like there's a nighttime scene, and he uses blue and yellow.
Oh, and I wrote about this in the review, man. The glow on that yellow is so well done.
It's so well done. It's just like it's a nighttime scene, and just the colour temperatures. Just everything he's done with it is just a masterstroke.
I like what he does. He limits that palette, but then he adds a splash of blood on the werewolf's shoulder, and it works so well.
Yeah, and just like a little bit of colour here and there, and there's the zombie character, which is kind of introduced a bit later. There's a couple of scenes where it goes like really close in on him, and it changes from this style of kind of being relatively flat to being quite detailed, and it works so well. It's, you know... We mentioned it before, the Scott McCloud, when stuff's at a distance is quite simple, but when you get up close, there's a real vividness to it and lots of detail and texture. This is that, but right. Like using the colour to describe form and texture. And it's so well done. It's just an absolute like masterclass in comics like this. I was just blown away.
I think Hinkle and him and McNamara must be old school mates, I think, because I reviewed and read a book called, is it Sucker or Sucked? I can't remember the name of it now. Last year for Honest Review Month. Really loved it. Really good. But whilst Hinkle didn't do the art for that, he did a pin-up in the back, which is really good. Which I think is one of the extras you can get at a pledge level on the Kickstarter we pledge to. One of the extras you got that as a print, I think.
There was like six comics that he sent in with the package. So you not only got that, but you got all the other great comics I'd not read before. So
yeah, and it's one of those Kickstarters that I was keen to read straight away, because I think as soon as it landed in my inbox, I'm saying to you boys, I was saying to you, Dan, did you get it yet? Because it's really good. It's worth reading. Yeah,
I can't wait to read this. I mean, it's completely up my street. The sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like a Monster Squad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, definitely going to be checking that out.
Yeah, I just want to see how the third zombie character, like how he's going to interact with the other two. Because
he's introduced kind of late. He's like an ex-punk, like one of the Ramones or someone like that, who ends up becoming a zombie, but, you know, can control other creatures and stuff. And he's sort of added a little bit late. You don't quite know what he's about, but hopefully it's an ongoing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next one coming out, because it's one of those ones. Ending with Hinkley and I'll back, and I really like McNamara's writing, and he's I had a good chat with him on Twitter the other day. He's an interesting guy. Yeah, good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, loved it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I loved the book that I read on Comic House just earlier today, actually. One of the new ones that we mentioned earlier, and it is New York City Gallows. Script by Ben Cook, art by Robert Ahmed. Colours by AHG, letters by DC Hopkins, cover by Charlie Gillespie that reminded me of, and the name escapes me now. You know who did all the Preacher covers?
Glenn Fabry.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called that. It's almost like I was talking about this while reviewing it. I said it's almost like a sort of detective paperback novel as well. There's a bit of that, isn't there?
Yeah. So, and the logo cover assembly by Jim Kersey. This is on Comic House now. You can also buy hard copies as well from the website. And this is a pulpy New York City, it's part pulp hero, part crime sort of thriller. It's more on the crime sort of section rather than, like, you know.
It's a little bit vigilante supervillain. You can't really, really tell at the moment.
There's the sort of vigilante sort of shadow bit, which I think it's going ahead in that direction. But the first issue is definitely leaning more with the police at the moment. The synopsis is basically organised crime is at an all-time high, eating away at what's left of the big rotten apple, and Detective Cassie Delaney has just uncovered the truth. Cass and her partner Eric Keane are hot on the trail of New York's elusive and savage vigilante, the Hangman. But Cass is about to learn that some leads come at a cost and shouldn't be followed as she finds herself at the Hangman's mercy. As always, I went into the book without reading that synopsis. And, you know, and I did go in. I hadn't read any of Ben's work before or, you know, Ahmed's work. I went in thinking, okay, this looks, I mean, the cover is lovely, but I thought, I kind of measured it up and thought, okay, I know I'm going to get like an independence, like vigilante story and you know, the sort of pulp hero sort of story, you know, we're going to get this. And in my opinion, when you do see a few of them on the indie scene, and they're not, on most of the time, they're not handled that well. They're all a bit simplistic sometimes, I think. They're just, they seem to be sort of a cookie cutter.
I think it's not only a trope, it's not only a sort of a genre, it's actually a fucking story version these days. People do an inner city vigilante or inner city and crime thing, and it seems to be by rote almost often.
And they seem to be, you know, if I took that character out and put the shadow in there, it would be a shadow story. If I took that, you know, they're very
It could be a Punisher story, couldn't it?
With this one, this is very much from the outset, I was like, okay, this is a quality one. This is already, I mean,
I really like the art style. I mean, I've seen his work before, but I really think this is the best he's been. And I think I compared to you, we were chatting about this earlier, weren't we? And I think Aven Oeming is reminiscent of his style for me.
Yeah, there's a beautiful pacing to the artwork and the colours.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
There's a simplicity because it's all set in New York, you know, and this is it's a slightly grimier New York, you know, it's the dark side of New York, as it were. And it does have that New York kind of feel to it, even though
it's like the docks and all that sort of thing.
These aren't US creators. I know Ben is from England, and like, you know, so there seems to be a real handle on, you know, the atmosphere, the genre, everything is just on point. And I'm not always, you know, like I just mentioned, it'll take a little while to hook me, especially to a pulp character. But you see, the vigilante is treated. It's the background threat when this, you know, it's about the cops investigating it, because you see, you know, something happens at the beginning, and these crime family are at the mercy of the Hangman, and it's pretty brutal, you know.
There's a shotgun scene. Now, I like people. I hate the slow first issue. I've read a few recently, but this one, as soon as the shotgun went off in that first few pages, I thought, right, good. Right, they know what they're doing.
And, you know, this is a vigilante that, you know, if you're in his sights, bad things are going to happen to you. And you've got the traditional, the cops are chasing after them, but how does he feel about the law? Do you know what I mean? You don't know. And there's the mystery, because I read some of it thinking, oh, that character is clearly probably going to be the Hangman.
Yeah, me too. But it's not, though. You see that it's not, don't you?
Yeah.
We don't spoil the ending, because there's something happening. I thought, well, that'll be him, and it clearly ain't.
Yeah, you probably thought exactly the same character as me then.
Yeah, I reckon we did.
And it's just brilliantly paced. You got some character stuff at the beginning, which gives you a hint to like background of the character, enough to tell you enough about these characters. It's enough information without any info dumps. It's just like conversation between people. Do you know what I mean? There's no, you know, narrative sort of like, you know, oh, the city is dark, you know, all of that nonsense. It's a crime story about people, and then you throw like a vicious vigilante into it, but you know, terrible criminals, and it was just handled really well. And you actually see the partners working together. You see them, that they've got to it all. It's all happening around Christmas, and you know they've got to, even though Christmas is just around the corner, they're chasing up a lead. And
for anyone trying to visualize what the Hangman looks like, do you remember a character from a couple of years ago called the Black Hood? There's a similarity there, isn't there?
Which
is also an Impact comic we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his presence is felt over the whole first issue. The second issue is certainly, I'm completely on board for the second issue. You know, when I finished it, I was like, let's have the next one now. Obviously, indie comics take a while, but I think they actually smashed it out of the park with this first issue. And like I say, the beauty of, like, you know, wherever you get your comics, and you know, if you're searching for new stuff, because I'm on board for these guys now. I think they're brilliant.
I think they put it out for free, didn't they, the other day?
They may have done. I know.
I can't remember if that was them. I know a lot of people are doing it, but there's a couple of things. The couple of things I'll just run by you, see what you think, mate. So they sort of occurred to me. Is the cover in style is very different. Apologies, but who did the cover again?
The cover was Charles Gillespie.
Now, Charles has done quite a lot of 2008 AD stuff, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of covers and stuff like that. And he's got that, like you say, like that Fabry style. But it's very different from the interiors. But I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that at all. I think I'm enough of a sort of seasoned comic reader to understand that that's the thing. Yeah.
I think exactly the same. The styles are different, but they work well together. I think the cover matches.
Yeah, I think so. And I think certainly with Preacher, we're used to that. That was a style that we were used to. You know, there's a good example of it. But the cover also is very well done in being representational of what happens inside.
Yes.
So if you look at what's happening on the cover, there's a sort of he's the villain, the vigilante is looming overhead, and he's almost pulling the strings of other characters. And
it's also interesting because it's a blue sky. Normally with these sort of books, it's dark, it's grim, it's, you know, you can clearly see what's happening on this cover. It's not a shadowy Gotham like city, is it?
And there's nothing worse than too dark a comic, is there, that you can't really see what's going on. And the other thing that I found interesting is, and I thought this would irk me but it didn't, is that the characters fall into cliche. So as we are used to these days with detective comics, or in New York detective comics especially, we've got a cop, we've got you know, a female cop, you know, sort of headstrong, we've got a partner who's a sort of family man. You know, so it's almost like Lethal Weapon again, isn't it? You know, you've got that family man character who doesn't want to take too many chances but steps up in the end. You've got a corrupt narcotics cop. You know, it's always the vice or the narcotics cop who's the corrupt one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and you've got the fat mob boss, which you got again.
Dodgy mayor. You know,
Dodgy mayor. You've got the captain of the police who chews out them for not getting results. And to me, okay, that is a cliche. There's no one will tell me that that isn't. But I found it familiar. I didn't find it irritating. Yeah. I found it was a familiar shortcut that allowed for the narrative to flow in other areas.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get away with it everywhere. Please don't do it everywhere, because it will drive me nuts in the end. But for this, at the moment, I found that it worked as a shortcut to identify characteristics and personalities.
Yeah, because from then, otherwise, the characters go on their own journey as well, don't they? It's like you immediately, I know what this character is. But then, like, it's in the dialogue and the way the character acts that they become their own thing.
Yeah,
as the story's going to go. Another shout to the cover. I think that on Comic House, the last page is, I'm presuming it's a back cover, or possibly it was another cover to go along, you know, like a variant. I think this is a Robert Ahmed cover, and that is super strong as well. I'd love that as a print. I'd absolutely love that as a print. It's got, like, the main character sort of standing there with, like, a shadow behind her, and she's got a noose around her neck, as there's Polaroids of, like, some of the main characters around. It's just fantastic stuff. It's well worth it. I mean, it's also not a short comic. It's 38 pages.
Yeah.
I
found a couple of the little bits of colouring interesting, and I'm not sure if this is like saying something that might happen further on. There's the female character in it. On a couple of pages, there's a glow around her. I don't know if you've noticed this. There's they use a sort of glowing colouring thing. There's at one point they're outside and she's talking to a partner and there's almost a yellow glow around her, and I'm like,
is that lighting though? That could be a lighting.
Yeah, it is lighting, but I wondered, it was just a little bit unusual, and I wondered whether there's some kind of representational metaphor going on there, which I thought, that's a little bit of another layer that I kind of like. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lots of interesting stuff, but it's, you know, you'll rinse through it. It's a quick read. But a substantial read, very quick, brilliant. I think there's plenty to be going on here, and I look forward to seeing more. So, top work to all the gang, and I look forward to seeing more. You can find Ben's work on Twitter at BJ Francis Cook on Twitter. Go there. I know he's got a Gumroad and stuff, and, you know, he's been retweeting. This one is one of the new ones on Comic House, so it will be shooting up the charts, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I've been chatting to him as well because I stuck a review up for it this week, and I was chatting to him about it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so great stuff. So that's my pick. All right, Tony, do you want to take us
on? Last one is a book called, it's a 6-issue series called Digested, £1.99 each on Comixology by Gestalt Comics. It's by a cartoonist from Melbourne, Australia, by the name of Bobby N. Anyone heard of him?
No.
No, he's a sort of undergroundy. You could see him fitting into maybe Fantagraphics, Drawn and Quarterly, Top Shelf, that kind of sort of crowd. Creates his own comics. They're a mixture of prose, poetry, sarcastic letter columns, and these comics. The 6 issues, they're done in a square-bound format. So a lot of them are done in grids. A lot of them are in two up, two down grids. There's a couple of that sort of muck about a little bit with that format, but it's a really interesting read. The art is black and white, really strong and solid blacks. I'm trying to think who I'd compare it to. I know he's probably, because he's from New Zealand and close by, but Dylan Horrocks, if you know his stuff. There's maybe a little bit of the Roger Langridge when he did Fred the Clown, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Right.
A little bit of Peter Bagg, maybe a little bit of Gilbert Hernandez. It feels at moments, there's little moments where it feels like a little Australian Love and Rockets, where it's little pastiches of a sort of community, an area of people, that sort of thing. So this is the scene that won me over. So it's a series of short stories. There is one longer story that jumps about a bit and carries on through a few of the issues. But the one really, I thought, right, I like this now, is there's a story about a geezer, and he goes on a date with this woman, and you can see she's sort of slightly older company secretary, slightly sort of dowdy with glasses. And they end up having a meal together, and he's flirting with her, and she's, you know, sort of slightly shy. And they go back to her apartment, and he's looking through the books on her shelves, and he sees that she's got like shelf upon shelf of romance novels, you know, like the old Mills and Boone kind of romance novels. And they sit down to drink some coffee, and he says, I've got some gum. Do you mind if I throw it away? And she says, oh, there's a bin in the kitchen. So he goes in, and you get that view up from the bin upwards as he throws his gum in. And he says, as I flip the lid and I look down, I could see that there was a whole cucumber in there covered in Vaseline. And I thought, right, I'm on board with this. Yeah, I like this. the format's lovely. I really like that sort of format. It's cheaply sold on Comixology, thank Christ for a change. He doesn't limit himself into the format, obviously, because he puts prose, and there's a lot of sort of, I'd compare it to maybe a beat poet kind of thing. It's not iambic pentameter or anything like that. It's short little vignettes of stories and poetry and comics. There's a really good ongoing sequence about a character who's confronted by his boss, who keeps complaining that he goes home on time. And he says, what do you mean I go home on time? I do my time. He says, well, yeah, but you just go home at exactly the time, when your 8.5 hours is finished. And it goes on and on and on. And you can see that this is something that's probably happened to him in his real life. You know, it's just very, very insightfully written. And the dialogue bounces about really well. There's an ongoing story about a little kid he decides to wear a gas mask all the time. Everyone around him is wearing gas masks. And as he grows up, he decides he's going to stop wearing a gas mask. And there's a man on the sidewalk who's got a balloon. But next to the balloon is a sort of Cthulhu monster that grows up into the sky. And he sort of talks to him about that. So it goes from the sort of everyday and the sort of suburban story to the quite sort of outrageous, strangely written, trippy, just bizarre. You know, there's a real mood to it that I hadn't really seen from any comics for a while, that is just sort of slightly unusual and interesting. And I read all 6 in one sitting. I read them all straight through. They're not super long. There's one where there's a man filling out his online dating application, which is a man sitting at his computer, you know, and he says he wants to meet a woman who's relaxed and, you know, happy in her own skin, and he can spend time with her and sit on the couch with her and maybe watch rom-coms. Someone he can really communicate with, and then he sort of pauses and then he writes, and can put her whole fist in her mouth. So it's full of little things like that. I had not seen this guy's work before. I don't know how I'd missed it. BobbyN.com is his website. Go and buy his stuff. Go and look it up on Comixology. It's cheaper than a single Marvel issue. I mean, you can buy 2 issues of this. He's at BobbyN.com or Gestalt, Gestalt Comics, Gestaltcomics.com as well. You can find his stuff. It's just strangely unusual and different. And yeah, the sort of thing that we should be talking about on this show. It's sort of small pressy, makes it himself, has a day job, but has got a bit of a name for these sort of weird comics that he makes. So I kind of like that sort of thing.
Nice. Yeah, that's my last one. About on this show. And there's loads of show notes for you to check out, folks, and loads of comics for you to read, which is what we all need. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and all of the serious, silly, whatever we talked about. If you've got opinions or if, you know, maybe you've got some information that we need to know, then get in touch with us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if there's any events that have been postponed or, you know, if perhaps you're putting on, like we said, some stuff to help get comics out to people or just generally.
Well, there'll be an online convention. I think there was, I missed it today, but wasn't there a Ladies Do Comics event online today?
I think.
Got a feeling there was.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
So if there's any of that coming up, a lot of this stuff is happening sort of last minute, but if you're planning things, let us know and we'll put a big shout out on the show for them.
Yeah, definitely.
So give us an email, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, where we'll be just talking nonsense up until the 250, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We got some fun plans for 250, and we'll probably put some questions out for the, like, the listeners or the, what do we call it? We don't have a name for the people that listen to this show.
No,
do
we don't. We don't really. No,
apart from family, because we love
wankers.
You all. So, not wankers. That's the people that don't listen to us.
I did actually remember, I forgot a shout out, but all on right, April 1st, we've got the results of the portrait drawing competition challenge been posted up. So if you were a member of the Awesome Comics Talk, I assigned a load of people who were interested a portrait commission to draw of someone else. Yeah. And everyone is going to be posting up their results on April 1st.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Who's drawing you?
We can't say that on air. By next week's show, we'll know. And that'll be an awesome
Did you do the draw, Dan?
I did. I know who's drawing everyone.
Yeah. I bet you went, oh, Christ, I don't want him drawing me. And you just changed it.
Yeah.
Probably. No, I didn't actually.
Oh, okay.
I was concerned that the way the results came out, I said, oh, did I? Looks like I seeded that competition, but I didn't at all.
It's completely random. John Byrne has applied. He can draw me.
Oh, yeah. That's a coincidence. That's weird.
But if you want to find out more about that, that will be on our Facebook group. But if you do Facebook, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. On Twitter, catch us at the Awesome Pod. And like I say, that sort of art thread and more on Awesome Comics Talk. Search for that group on Facebook, join it. And there's loads of great people just chatting about comics and generally supporting each other and coming up with great ways to keep themselves entertained. So there's some comics reading groups going up on there. There's all kinds. So definitely check that group out.
Got that great big long thread of free comics.
Exactly. There is a huge thread of free comics as well. So, you know, it's the community that gives back. We just put the page up. Everyone else made it good. We don't.
Oh, another shout out. Orphans issues 3 and 4 is out online. Have a read of that.
Oh, really? Shit. Oh, I better get that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Am I going to have to fucking break the Comixology thing?
Yeah, $2.99 each, but they're big old reads.
$2.99 is not actually too bad. That wouldn't be the most. But
yeah.
Also, thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. Generally, be nice to us, please. that'd be nice, and it helps get the word out about the show. And if you listen to us on any other networks, such as Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod Devil's Bad Pipes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's good.
I got that out of the Viz Profanosaurus today.
Nice.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. That's Dan Butcher's Bible, that is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much read that every day. No lie.
Dan Butcher never lies to us. We all know that.
Yeah.
But where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
neveronanything.blogspot.com for all your ranting needs in Honest Review Month. I've done 10 so far, so I've got 21 more to go. There
I'm
you go.
A couple behind, Ezo, yes. So I've got to catch up.
Thanks, man. Ezo, yes, Ezohyz.
Yeah, so how do you spell that? Judas? Is that what it is?
Fuck off.
Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Which you should. If you haven't yet, now is the perfect time to do it.
I put your trade on a shelf. I built some new shelves today, and that was the first trade I put on there today.
Hey.
And they're chunky books, so they need a shelf.
They are. Fucking hell, they are. Yeah.
You can find me on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, at Jester Diablo. And the amazing, the wonderful, the legendary man that is known as Adam Falp. Where can people find you, your work, and everything else, sir?
Instagram, Twitter is at Adam Falp or adamfalp.com, which I bought that domain because you fucked me up last time, Vince, when you asked me and I said the wrong thing. So I purchased adamfalp.com shortly afterwards.
Nice. See, he's got the website now, so... There is only one. He's like Highlander, only like one that makes more comics.
Yeah, not so much sword fighting.
No, well, we don't know. Yeah. I mean, you look like you're quite handy with a blade, Adam.
You got a ponytail, that's right, isn't it?
Crossing swords, maybe. Yeah.
And on that bombshell, have a brilliant week, folks.
Little insight there. What happens at Tony's office?
Tribute Press HQ. Yeah, find it called.
Yeah.
I might talk the ladies on reception into putting that on the sign because I sweet talk them with fucking donuts once a week. So I might say, oh, could you wanted to put a sign up for me? Could you make it Tribute Press? See if we can talk them into it. Yeah,
brilliant. Stay tuned on how long he stays at that office before they kick him out. and until then, have a brilliant week, everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy, read loads of comics. There's no excuse because there's shitloads of free ones about these days.
Yeah.
And from Dan, Tony, Adam and myself, have a brilliant week. And what do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Well.
That wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
did we get it? I don't know.
Yeah, we got it, Adam. Don't worry. We got it. We got it. It's fine. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.